Well, I was looking at my Facebook page last week. I came across a quote, and I decided I was going to save it to my pictures so I could share it with you today. It says, "A disciple is someone who has moved from being a recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission." Let me say it again. A disciple is someone who has moved from being a recipient of the church's mission to be responsible for the church's mission. Of all those words, the word moved jumped out at me. And to demonstrate it in another way, when our hands are tightly clenched, we are unable to receive the blessings that God has for us. The act of opening up our hands and lifting them up to God shows that we are opening up ourselves to what He wants us to receive and for His blessings. When they're tight, we can't get God's blessings, but when they're open, we're ready to receive what God has for us. That quote and our proverb today, wisdom literature, are both packed with guidance. They teach us that there is a maturing process that we must go through, and whenever we move from being a recipient and to being responsible for the church's mission. In other words, with the help of God, we are able to make that move, and when we do, we're truly blessed. Let's delve into this just for a bit and see what kind of a message Jesus has for us today. You realize, of course, we're in our 2019 stewardship emphasis. And if you're a visitor today, I want you just to sit there and not worry about a thing, but just listen, because I think you'll learn something about our church. So first of all, where do you fall in reference to the quote on the screen? Are your hands still tightly clenched? Are fear and uncertainty still knocking at your door? Not now, you may be thinking, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. You don't know about my life. It's too soon. There's no way that I can let go of my money and my time. Well, secondly, perhaps you're somebody who is in the process of moving. You're a bit uneasy. You don't want to let go of some of the things you love. You're afraid if you do that God is going to send you to Tasmania, and you're not ready to go to Tasmania. You want to fully trust God with everything you have, but gosh, do I have to give up everything I enjoy? Oh, my heart is willing. I just don't know quite what to do. Or do you think you have arrived? Perhaps like me, it took you a little while to get there, but once you opened up your hand and your heart, everything changed. You wake up every single morning and there's a new adventure, and you can't wait to see what God is going to do. You know for sure that God reigns in the totality of your life. You are absolutely confident. And you say, when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours. What pours? Why, blessings, of course. Hold on to that word. We're going to come back to it. Now, let me be quick to say here that there is absolutely no guilt, no shame, no matter where you are. We all need the church. We need the church whenever we are sad, and we need a Stephen minister. We need the church when there are births and deaths, and sometimes we need the church maybe just to help us make it through the month. We need the church. There's no guilt or shame, no matter where you are. But to become a mature disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to go on a journey. We have to move. And God is with us. The Spirit of Jesus is in this place today. And He would say, I want you to keep moving. Well, I've been with you all now for 21 years, and I thought you might be a little curious about my journey, my maturity, what made me move from point A to point B. In other words, what helped me become a disciple, a mature disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, I have to say, like John Wesley, I'm still going on to perfection. I'm still moving, trying to get better every day. But there are some things that happened, interestingly, right here in this church that marked my journey, and I want to share them with you. So, the very first move that I made in my maturity began right here in this sanctuary many years ago. Before I worked here, before seminary, before ordination. I was a former high school journalism teacher and PR person for the A-Leaf School District, and I was a wife and mother of five. The first leg of that journey came by me being challenged to read and study my Bible and get in a Sunday school class or a small group. That's the same challenge that Pastor Andy offers us all the time. But Dr. Bill Henson was the senior pastor here at the time, and I can tell you, he was no nonsense about this church going deeper into the Bible and into the Word of God. Every single time he preached or you met him, over and over, he encouraged you to go deeper into the Word of God. I was absolutely so touched by his wisdom and his encouragement that I went out and bought a Life Application Bible and began to study the Bible earnestly. I added a daily devotion. Not that I didn't have that before, but I decided I was not going to let life get in my way of my time with God. I made it my priority. I joined a disciple Bible study class at the West Campus. Oh, I learned so much, and the people that I met there 20 years ago are still my good friends. So, getting serious about studying the Word of God was my absolute first step in my transition to maturing into a disciple of Jesus Christ. The next move came absolutely right here in this place. Dr. Henson was standing here. Gives me chill bumps to be standing here too. But it was a stewardship sermon just like this. He said, you can absolutely trust God when you give Him your money and your time. He was encouraging all of us to begin to tithe. Now, as he's up here talking, and you know, he had dark, penetrating eyes and a deep voice, I kept thinking, You don't know anything about my life. I have 5 older teenagers at home, and they are expensive. There were proms and special events and food that I had to go to Sam's in a van and bring home just to feed them. That was going through my mind, my life. That wasn't going through his mind. His mind was saying, you can absolutely trust God with what you have. So, I'd grown up in the church from a baby. I knew what I needed to do. But I decided it was time for me to really grow up. Really grow up. And so, as he said, I began my tithe with 2%. And then I went to 3%. And then I went to 4%. And before I knew it, I had reached 10%. And I look back, and it wasn't as difficult as it seemed. I trusted God with everything. So with God's word in my heart and my ability to start to tithe, I got the call to ministry. I was obedient. I listened, and I did what God asked me to do. But there was one more thing he wanted me to experience in this maturing process. And that call came right here. It came in the way of a question from Kristen Jones. She came into my office one day, closed the door, looked at me, and said, I want you to go to Haiti with me. And as she was talking, I was looking at her and thinking, you have got to be kidding. Who in the world would ever want to go to that place? They have just had an earthquake. You could see on the TV doctors amputating limbs in tents in the streets in Haiti. There were over 1 million orphans in that place. Port-au-Prince looked like a pancake. Everything was crumbled. Everything was in chaos. Diseases were everywhere. Oh my gosh, that was so different from what I am used to. I had just moved to the Woodlands, a home in the woods. It was peaceful. It was quiet, and she's trying to tell me I've got to go to Haiti. But you know what? I love her, and I respect her, and she has got wisdom more than you can ever believe. So I went, shaking in my boots. When we landed and got our luggage and got out in the parking lot, we got in a van, and the door fell off. Right in the parking lot. And in my head, so she wouldn't see me, I was screaming, what have I done? What have I done to listen to her? There were amputees all over the airport, and they were begging, give me a dollar, give me a dollar, over and over. But listen to this. I had no clue that those amputees and orphans would become a huge part of my life. Never did I consider that I would make 11 trips with many of you and that we would end up building a sewing shop for those amputees, a clean water plant so the village could drink clean water, that we would paint and refurbish countless homes, deliver umpteen pair of goats to people who have nothing, and when you bring these goats up to them, they start weeping. I couldn't believe that I would be part of a kids' club where we sing and dance and jump around and watch these kids, most of them orphans, and then they would enjoy a delicious meal overflowing with rice and beans. Because you paid for it. I had no idea that I would adopt a young man there. I mean, I have 5 kids, and I kind of adopted him and that I would build his mother a house because she had nothing, and then I would help build him a business, a convenience store that actually came by a miracle from God right here in this place, a miracle that started here and leaped across the ocean to Haiti. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps. I never planned that I would attend countless meetings with Conroe United Methodist and also Kingwood United Methodist on how we could help our village thrive. I didn't plan to make a lot of new friends in a different part of the world. That was nothing like my part of the world. And never did I think I would ever want to go back and look forward to it. While I was there, I said, I'm never coming back. You see, I learned a huge lesson from that invitation, that when you give water to others, you will get water. When you refresh others, you too will be refreshed. The blessings that I have from that encounter and accepting that invitation have absolutely poured down on me. I have to run with a basket sometimes just to try to catch them all. It has been amazing. So I'm a late bloomer, but I do have a friend who is not a late bloomer. She grew up singing the hymns of the church from the time she was a little baby. Scripture was recited in her home every day, and if you say something to her, she'll burst out in song and repeat scripture in a moment's notice. She had a very wise mother, and I think she became a mature disciple of Jesus Christ at a very early age. I invited her to go to Haiti with me to see the village we had adopted. While we were there, God put it on her heart to adopt a Haitian child named Camille and pay for her education. It's $35 a month. Camille was 17 years old, and she was in the fifth grade. I mean, to her, $35 a month might as well be $35 million, because she is going to be able to pull herself out of poverty. So one of the things that my friend does is send gifts to her during every season. And when we went one time, I had the opportunity to deliver those gifts, which is no easy task, to Camille, to go to her school and give her the gifts that my friend had sent. How I got there is another story. We'll talk about that at a later time. But when I got there, the principal called me in the office, and that is what she looked like. Look at her face. It is down. You know why? She had never in her life ever received a gift. She had no clue what to do with it. I had to unwrap it, and we can see the, you can see the backpack, and we can move to the next slide. She had that on her lap, and look, once I unwrapped it and she saw the hair bows and she saw the lip balm, she began to smile. And then let's move to the next one. Finally, she was ready to pose with me. You may think I'm a little dressed up, which is kind of typical Anne, but you have to wear a skirt when you go into the villages. You see, my friend was at a point where she and Jesus bonded tightly, and she lives to help other people. Jesus clearly reigns in her life, and what's interesting is every single time she does something like this, something more comes back to her. When she refreshes somebody, she is also refreshed. I'm going to show you a video right now of somebody in our church named Monique Studak, who has some very wise words for us.
Once I knew I had a plan, even when I was seriously in debt, I mean, I was like, this is back in the days when you had to write checks for everything, and I would tear the corner of the check so that it would get caught in the machine and it would take a day longer to process. You know, now they just take a picture of the check and your money's gone. But back in the day, even though money was really tight, I still felt more in control because I had a plan. When I was in my 20s, finally got out of college and moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. My grandmother's wish for me was, before I even started my first day of work, would be to find a church. So find a lovely Methodist church, and very quickly found a home there. Stewardship program campaign rolled around in the spring, and I had never given, but now I'm a grown up. And so I filled out that pledge card, and I filled it out for $10 a week. And just felt like I was now part of something, because I was being financially responsible for the church that had taken me in. And I was only in that church for about a year. My job then took me to Birmingham, Alabama. Same story. Stewardship campaign comes around, $25 a week. It's just grown. It's just part of what I do now. And then in my late 30s, I get married. And this is also a conversation that I now have as a married person, as part of a team. He noticed a couple of years back, he said, every year we're giving more to the church. And I said, yes, yes we are. Because every year the Lord's given more to us. And even in bad years, we're having good years. So the financial piece really ties into what I was talking about. You know, these principles, these ideas of getting out of debt and taking control of your finances. Budgets are terrifying because people always think it tells you what you can't do. But really a budget is you telling what your money to do. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can start getting in control of your finances today. It gives you the opportunity to give more. I think it's important to give because you want to walk the walk. Christ said to feed the hungry and clothe those in need, and we do that here. You don't know who you're touching with what we do through our missions, and these are the things that Christ did daily in his ministry, and that's what I want to see us supporting. That's what I want to be part of. And then there's the selfish part of me that loves the music. And I'm also a big fan of air conditioning, especially in the summer in Houston, Texas. Those are the reasons on a Christ-like basis and on a selfish basis where we have to give. It's 9 weeks. We do it on Sunday mornings before church starts. So you come in with a cup of coffee, have a donut, and sit down and start getting a phase of your life under control. Hopefully that spreads more of the love that we talk about every week in here.
So did you hear her say, you never know who you're going to touch? I just told you stories about people that live 1,641 miles away that are smiling because we have learned to give, and so that giving goes so many places. Okay, we're not going to all end up in Haiti. God is not going to send all of us to Tasmania. There is plenty to do right here in our city and in your own neighborhood. But I want to point out something to you. People who give and who have made the move do it willingly with complete trust, and they're different. They're different. Did you catch her smile and her enthusiasm? She didn't do that just for the video. She is like that all the time. She's a busy woman, but she gives up her time to help people in our church get their finances under control so that they can give more. I truly believe that we are not a congregation like comedian Flip Wilson portrayed many times when he did the preacher in What's Happening in the Church. And I'm going to need some participation with this. He'd yell, if this church is going to serve God, it's got to get down on its knees and crawl. And the congregation would yell back, make it crawl, preacher, make it crawl. You try it. And then he would yell, once this church has learned to crawl, it needs to get up on its feet and walk. And then he would say, once this church has learned to walk, it's got to begin to run. And then he would say, in order to run, it's got to reach down deep in its pockets and learn to give, at which they all yelled back, make it crawl, Pastor. Make it crawl. We're a congregation that has reached deep in our pockets for years and years, and we have done that for over 180 years, which we'll celebrate on April 19th of this year. I venture to say we're going to do the same thing in 2019 because we want to follow Jesus and live out the most important command. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And now to end with what I promised, the blessings. If you have never unclenched your hands and opened them up to the Lord, you have no idea what is in store for you. One of the Old Testament scriptures about giving and tithing is the one you hear all the time, Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much that you will not have enough room for it. I love that scripture, but it was for the Israelites, and it's part of the old covenant, and it came with blessings, and it came with curses. But we live under the new covenant with Jesus. And the closest scripture to that one is Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Listen to this. When you give, then it is pressed down as tight as it will go. It is squished, and then it's shaken together like a massage chair on full speed, and then it runs over into your lap like a popcorn machine with all the popcorn coming out. That is the image of great quantity. To move from being a disciple is living in the grace of God, and we give our free will offerings and see how much fun it is to see how abundantly God will provide. We don't need to test anything. We just act with confidence and trust, and we move. First of all, we must do this. We must take care of our family. We must get our bills and our finances under control. Paul said, that is why you pay taxes, so that an orderly way of life can be maintained. Fulfill your obligations as a citizen. Pay your taxes, pay your bills, respect your leaders, and then give generously. Blessings come in so many ways, and they don't always come with money. But you need to be on the lookout for them. And I suggest you get a journal and you begin to write down your blessings. It will surprise you. The character of God is to give. Just look around your world. When we give, we demonstrate the character of God to others. Like everything else in our life, our giving is an outward expression of what is already in our hearts. When God is the focus, when we give, God blesses it. And how he does that sometimes is just mind-boggling. But it's a part of his grand plan. As we move, this is all about action, God moves with us. He never leaves us. Ask any person who has opened up their hands to the Lord. Ask them to tell you their story. It will absolutely surprise you. And then, don't crawl. Don't walk, but run to Jesus and fall on your knees and say, "Here I am, Lord. I am ready to move." Some wise words you can carry with you this week. A generous person prospers. Whoever gives water gets water back. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we ask that you would open up our hearts and minds today as your Spirit moves through this church and help us never be afraid to move. If we haven't started, take our hands and get us up and help us walk. If we are already there, oh, give us more to do. Give us more opportunities to serve you. Help us be a church that absolutely trusts you with our whole heart, and that we will be able to make a difference in the lives of others. And that may our hearts be changed and be filled with absolute joy and trust. We offer this prayer now to you, remembering the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.